They escort me like a prisoner through the halls, hood on my head, hands behind my back in unlocked manacles. Brother on my left, sister on my right, both supporting me. The snake bite lets me walk, but not well. My body, jacked with drugs as it is, still feels slack as wet clothes. I can barely feel my busted toe or feeble legs. My thin prisoner's shoes scrape the floor. My head swims, but there's a hyperspeed to my brain now. It's focused mania. I chew my tongue to keep from whispering and to remind myself that I am not in the darkness like before. My body is shuffling down a concrete hall. It is walking toward freedom, toward my family, toward Sevro. No one here will stop two dragoons of the 13th. Not when they have clearance and Aja herself is here. I doubt many in the Jackal's army know I'm even alive. They'll see my size, my ghostly pallor, and think I'm some unlucky obsidian prisoner. Still, I feel the eyes, paranoia creeping through me.
They know. They know you've left bodies behind. How long till they open that door? How long till we are discovered?
My brain races through the possible ends. How it could all go wrong. The drugs. It's just the drugs.
Shouldn't we be going up?
We descend on a grav lift deeper into the heart of the mountain citadel's prison.
Or is there a lower hangar bay?
Good guess, sir. We've got a ship waiting.
Trig, you got some brown on your nose just there.
Oh, shut your hole. I'm not the one who blushed when he was naked.
Sure about that, kiddo? Quiet.
The grav lift slows, and the siblings tense. Hear their hands click the safeties off their weapons. The doors open, and someone joins us.
Dominus.
Holiday says smoothly to the new company, shoving me to the side to make room. The boots that enter are heavy enough for a gold or obsidian. But Grays would never call an obsidian Dominus, and an obsidian would never smell like cloves and cinnamon.
Sergeant?
The voice scrapes through me. The man it belongs to once made necklaces of ears. Vixus, one of Titus's old band. He was part of the massacre at my triumph. I shrink into the side of the grav lift as it descends again. Vixus will know me. He'll sniff me out. He's doing it now, looking our way. I can hear the rustle of his jacket collar.
13th Legion?
He must have noticed their neck tattoos.
You Aja's or her father's?
The Furies for this tour, Dominus. But we've served under the Ash Lord.
Ah, then you were at the Battle of Deimos last year.
Yes, Dominus. We were with Grimmis in the Leechcraft vanguard sent to kill the Telmanuses before Fabii routed them in Arcos' ships. My brother here put a round in old Kavix's shoulder. Almost took him down before Augustus and Kavix's wife broke our assault team.
My, my. That would have been a gory damn prize and a half. You could have added another tear to your face, Legionnaire. I've been hunting that obsidian dog with the 7th. Ashlord's offered quite the price for his slave's return.
He snorts something up his nose. Sounds like one of the stim canisters Tactus was so fond of.
Ah, who's this then?
He means me. I hear my heart in my ears.
A gift from Praetor Grimmis in exchange for the package she's taken home. If you understand me, sir.
Half a package, more like.
He chuckles at his own joke.
Anyone I know?
His hand touches the edge of my hood. I cower away.
A howler would warm the heart. Pebble? Weed? No, much too tall.
An obsidian. Wish it was a howler.
Vixus jerks his hand back as though contaminated.
Wait. We'll put him in the cell with that Julii bitch. Let him fight for supper. What do you think, 13? Out for some fun?
Trig, kill the camera.
I say sharply from beneath my hood.
What?
A jam field goes up. I move. Clumsy, but fast. Snapping my hands out of the shackles, I pull free my hidden razor with one hand and rip off my hood with the other. I stab Vixus through the shoulder, pin him to the wall and headbutt him in the face. But I'm not what I was, even with the drugs. My vision swims. I stumble. He doesn't. Before I can react, before I can even focus my vision, Vixus pulls his own razor. Holiday shields me with her body, shoving me away. I fall to the ground. Trig's even faster on the take. He jams his slug shooter straight up into Vixus's open mouth. The gold freezes, staring down the metal length of the barrel, tongue against the cold muzzle. His razor pauses centimeters from Holiday's head.
Shh. Drop the razor.
Vixus does.
The hell are you thinking?
Holiday asks me angrily. She's breathing heavily and helps me back up. My head's still spinning.
Sorry.
I apologize. It was stupid of me. I steady myself and look over at Vixus, who stares at me in horror. My legs tremble, and I have to hold myself up by one of the grav lift's railings. My heart rattles from the strain of the drug in my system. Stupid to try to fight. Stupid to use a jammer. The Greens watching will piece it together. They'll send Greys to investigate the prep room, find the bodies. I try to paste my splintering thoughts together. Focus.
Is Victra alive?
Trig pulls the gun out just past the teeth so Vixus can answer. He doesn't. Not yet.
Do you know what he did to me?
After a stubborn moment, Vixus nods.
And?
I laugh. It stretches like a crack in ice, spreading, widening, about to shiver a thousand different ways, till I bite my tongue to cut it short.
And still, you have the balls to make me ask you twice.
She's alive.
Reaper, they'll be coming for us. They'll know it's jammed.
Holiday looks at the tiny camera node in the elevator's ceiling.
We can't change the plan.
Where is she?
I twist the razor.
Where is she?
Level 23, cell 2187. It would be wise not to kill me. You might put me in her cell. Escape. I will tell you the proper path, Daryl.
The muscles and veins under the skin of his neck slither and rise like snakes under sand. No body fat to him.
Two backstabbing Praetorians won't get you far. There's an army in this mountain. Legions in the city, in orbit. 30 peerless guard. Bone riders in South Attica.
He nods to the small jackal skull on the lapel of his uniform.
You remember them?
We don't need him.
Oh?
Ah! Vixus chuckles, confidence returning as he sees my weakness.
And what are you going to do against an Olympic knight, tin pot? Oh, wait. There are two here, aren't there?
Same thing you'd do, Goldilocks. Run.
Level 23, Trig.
Trig punches the grav lift controls, diverting us from their escape route. He pulls up a map on his datapad and studies it briefly with Holiday.
Cell 2187 is here. There will be a code. Cameras.
Too far from evac. If we go that way, we're cooked.
Victra is my friend.
I thought she was dead, but somehow she survived her sister's gunshots.
I won't leave her.
There's no choice.
There's always a choice.
The words sound feeble. Even to me.
Look at yourself, man. You're a husk.
Back off him, Holly.
That gold bitch isn't one of us. I won't die for her.
But Victra would have died for me. In the darkness, I thought of her. The childish joy in her eyes when I gave her the bottle of petrichor in the jackal's study.
I didn't know. Darrow, I didn't know.
That was the last thing she said to me after Roke betrayed us. Death around, bullets in her back. And all she wanted was me to think well of her in the end.
I won't leave my friend behind.
I'll follow you. Whatever you say, Reaper, I'm your man.
Trig! Arisan!
Ares hasn't turned the tide.
Trig nods to me.
He can. We go where he goes.
And if we miss our window?
Then we make a new one.
Holiday's eyes go glassy, and she works her large jaw. I know that look. She doesn't see her brother as I do. He's no lurcher, no killer. To her, he's the boy she grew with.
All right. I'm in.
What about the Peerless?
He puts the code in and he lives. Shoot him if he tries anything. We exit the elevator at level 23. I wear my hood again, having Holiday guide me along as Vixus walks ahead as if escorting us to a cell, Trig ready with his gun close behind. The halls are quiet. Our footsteps echo. I can't see past the hood.
This is it.
Put in the code, asshole.
He does, and the door hisses open. Noise roars out around us. Horrible static from hidden speakers. The cell is freezing, everything bleached white. The ceiling flaring with light so bright, I can't even look directly at it. The cell's emaciated occupant lies in the corner, legs curled up in a fetal position, spine to me, back painted with old burns and striped with lash marks from beatings. The mess of white blonde hair over her eyes is all that shields the woman from the blazing light. I wouldn't know who she was, except for the two bullet scars at the top of her spine between the shoulder blades.
Vectra!
I shout over the noise. She can't hear me.
Vectra!
I shout again, just as the noise dies, replaced over the speakers by the sound of a heartbeat. They're torturing her with sound. Light. Sensation. The exact opposite of my own abuse. Able to hear me now. Whips her head my direction. Gold eyes peering ferally out from the tangle of hair. I don't even know if she recognizes me. The boldness with which Victra wore her nakedness before is gone. She covers herself. Vulnerable. Terrified.
Get her on her feet!
Holiday says, pushing Vixus to his belly.
We gotta go.
She's paralyzed, isn't she?
Oh, shit. We'll carry her then.
Trig moves quickly toward Victra. I slam a hand back into his chest, stopping him. Even like this, she could rip his arms from his body. Knowing the terror I felt when I was pulled from my hole, I move slowly toward her. My own fear retreating to the back of my mind, replaced by anger at what her own sister has done to her. At knowing this is my fault.
Victra, it's me. It's Darrow.
She makes no sign of having heard me. I crouch down beside her.
We're going to get you out of here. Can we lift...
She lunges at me, throwing herself forward with her arms.
Take off your face! Take off your face!
She convulses as Holiday rushes forward and jams a thumper into the small of her back. The electricity isn't enough.
Go down!
Victra hits her in the center of her duroplastic armor chest piece, launching the gray meters back into the wall. Trig fires two tranquilizers into her thigh from his ambi rifle, a multi-purpose carbine. They put her down quick. But still, she pants on the ground, watching me through a slitted eye till she falls unconscious.
Holiday!
I'm golden.
Holiday grunts, lifting herself up. The chest piece has a fist-sized dent in the center.
Oh, Pixie can hit. This armor is supposed to handle rail rounds.
Holiday admires the dent.
Julia genetics.
Trig hoists Victra up on his shoulders and follows Holiday back out into the hall as she snaps at me to hurry after them. We leave Vixus belly down in the cell. Alive, as I promised.
We'll find you.
He sits up as I go to shut the door.
You know we will. Tell little Severo we're coming. One Barker down, one to go.
What did you say?
I step suddenly back into the cell, and his eyes light with fear. The same fear Leah must have felt those many years ago, when I hid in the dark while Antonia and Vixus tortured her to lure me out. He laughed as her blood soaked into the moss and as my friends died in the garden. He would have me spare him now so he could kill again later. Evil feeds on mercy. My razor slithers into a sling blade.
What? Please?
He begs now, thin lips trembling, so that I see the boy in him too, as he realizes he made a mistake. Someone, somewhere, still loves him. Remembers him as a mischievous child, or asleep in a crib. If only he had stayed that child. If only we all had.
Have a heart! Darrow, you're no murderer. You're no Titus.
The heartbeat sound of the room deepens. White light silhouetting him. He wants pity. My pity was lost in the darkness. The heroes of Red Songs have mercy, honor. They let men live, as I let the jackal live, so they can remain untarnished by sin. Let the villain be the evil one. Let him wear black and try to stab me as I turn my back, so I can wheel about and kill him, giving satisfaction without guilt. But this is no song. This is war.
Darrow!
I need you to send a message to the jackal. I slash open Vixus's throat. And as he slumps to the ground, pulsing out his life, I know he is afraid, because nothing waits for him on the other side. He gurgles, whimpers before he dies. And I feel nothing. Beyond the heartbeat of the room, alarm sirens begin to wail.
Shit! I told you we didn't have time!
We're fine.
We're together in the elevator. Victra on the floor. Trigg helping her into his black rain gear to give her a semblance of decency. My knuckles are white. Vixus's blood trickles over the inscribed image of children playing in the tunnels. It drips over my parents and stains Io's hair red before I wipe it from the blade with my prisoner jumpsuit. I forgot how easy it is to take a life.
Live for yourself, die alone. You think with all those brains they'd have sense enough not to be such assholes.
He looks over at me, brushing hair from flinty eyes.
Sorry to be a prick, sir. You know, if he was a friend...
Friend? He had no friends. I bend down to brush Victra's hair from her face. She sleeps peacefully against the wall, cheeks carved out from hunger, lips thin and sad. There's a dramatic beauty to her features, even now. I wonder what they did to her. The poor woman. Always so strong, so brash, but always to cover the kindness inside. I wonder if any is left.
Are you Prime?
I don't respond.
Was she your girl?
No. I touch the beard that's grown on my face. I hate how it scratches and stinks. I wish Danto had shaved it off as well. I'm not Prime. I don't feel hope. I don't feel love. Not as I look at what they did to Victra. To me. It's the hate that rides. Hate, too, for what I've become. I feel Trigg's eyes. No, he's disappointed. He wanted the Reaper, and I'm just a withered husk of a man. I run my fingers against my cage of ribs. So many slender little things. I promised these greys too much. I promised everyone too much, especially Victra. She was true to me. What was I to her but another person who wanted to use her? Another person her mother trained her to be prepared against.
You know what we need?
I look up at him, intensely.
Justice?
A cold beer.
A laugh explodes out of my mouth. Too loud. Scaring me.
Oh, shit.
Holiday murmurs, hands flying over the controls.
Shit, shit, shit!
What?
We're stuck between the 24th and 25th. She punches buttons. But suddenly, the lift jerks upward.
They've overridden the controls. We're not going to make it to the hangar. They're redirecting us.
She lets out a long breath as she looks up at me.
To the first level. Shit, shit, shit. They'll be waiting with lurches. Maybe obsidians. Maybe golds. They know you're in here.
I fight back the despair that rushes up from my belly. I won't go back. Whatever happens, I'll kill Victra. Kill myself before I let them take us. Trig is hunched over his sister.
Can you hack the system?
When the hell do you think I'll learn how to do that?
I wish Ephraim was here. He could.
Well, I'm not Ephraim.
What about climbing out?
If you want to be a skid mark.
Guess that leaves one option, huh?
He reaches into his pocket.
Plan C.
I hate Plan C.
Yeah, well, time to embrace the suck, baby doll. Unpack the heathen.
What's Plan C?
Escalation.
Trig activates his comlink. Codes flash over his screen as he connects to a secure frequency.
Outrider to Wrathbone, do you register? Outrider to
Wrathbone registers.
A ghostly voice echoes.
Request clearance code echo. Over.
Trig references his datapad.
13439283. Over.
Code is green.
We need secondary extraction in 5. Got the princess plus one at stage 2.
There's a pause on the other line. The relief in the voice palpable, even through the static.
Late notice.
Murder ain't exactly punctual.
Be there in 10. Keep him alive.
The link goes dead.
Goddamn amateurs.
10 minutes.
We've been in worse shit.
When? Oh, should have just gone to the goddamn hangar.
What can I do? Can I help?
Don't die.
Holiday slides off her backpack.
Then this is all for shit.
You gotta drag your friend.
Trig starts picking tech off his body, except his armor. He pulls 2 more antique weapons from his pack. 2 pistols to complement the high-powered gas ambi rifle. He hands me a pistol. My hand shakes. I haven't held a gunpowder weapon since I was 16, training with the Suns. They're vastly inefficient and heavy, and their recoil makes them wildly inaccurate. Holiday pulls a large plastic box from her pack. Her fingers pause over the latches. She opens the plastic box to reveal a metal cylinder with a spinning ball of mercury at its center. I stare at the device. If the Society caught her carrying it, she'd never see daylight again. Vastly illegal. I eye the grav lift's display on the wall. 10 levels to go. Holiday grips a remote control for the cylinder. 8 levels. Will Cassius be waiting? Aja? The Jackal? No, they would be on their ship preparing for dinner. The Jackal would be living his life. They won't know the alarm is for me. And even when they do, they'll be delayed. But there's enough to fear even without one of them coming. An obsidian could rip these 2 apart with his bare hands. Trig knows. He closes his eyes, touching his chest at 4 points to make a cross. A wedding band glints softly in the low light. Holiday minds the gesture, but doesn't do the same.
This is our profession, so swallow your pride. Stay behind us and let Trig and I work.
Trig cracks his neck and kisses his gloved left ring finger.
Stay close. Nut to butt, sir. Don't be shy.
3 levels to go. Holiday readies a gas rifle in her right hand and chews intensely on her gum, left thumb on the remote control. 1 level to go. We're slowing, watching the double doors. I loop Victra's legs in my armpits.
Love you, kiddo.
Love you too, baby doll.
Trig murmurs back, voice tight and mechanical now. I feel more afraid than I did when I lay encased in a star shell in the chamber of a spit tube before my reign. Not just afraid for me, but for Victra, for these 2 siblings. I want them to live. I want to know about South Pacifica. I want to know what pranks they pulled on their mother. If they had a dog, a home in the city, in the country. The grav lift wheezes to a halt. The door light flashes, and the thick metal doors that separate us from a platoon of the Jackal's elite hiss open. Two glowing stun grenades zip in and clamp to the walls, and Holiday pushes the device's button. A deep implosion of sound ruptures the elevator's quiet as an invisible electromagnetic pulse ripples out from the spherical EMP at our feet. The grenades fizzle dead. Lights go black in the elevator outside it, and all the greys waiting beyond the door with their high-tech pulse weapons, and all the obsidians in their heavy armor with their electronic joints and helmets and air filtration units are slapped in the face with the Middle Ages. But Holiday and Trigg's antiques still work. They stalk forward out of the elevator into the stone hall, hunched over their weapons like evil gargoyles. It's slaughter. Two expert marksmen firing short bursts of archaic slugs at point-blank range into squads of defenseless greys in wide halls. There is no cover to take. Flashes in the corridor, gigantic sounds of high-powered rifles, rattling my teeth. I freeze in the elevator till Holiday shouts at me, and I rush after Trigg, hauling Victor behind me. Three obsidians go down as Holiday lobs an antique grenade. A hole opens in the ceiling. Plaster rains. Dust, chairs and coppers fall through the hole from the room above, crashing down into the fray. I hyperventilate. A man's head kicks back. Body spins to the ground. A grey flees for cover down a stone hall. Holiday shoots her in the spine. She sprawls like a child slipping on ice. Movement everywhere. An obsidian charges from the side. I fire the pistol. Aim horrible. The bullets skitter off his armor. 200 kilograms of man raises an ion axe. Its battery dead, but edge still keen. He ululates his kind's throaty war chant, and red mist geysers from his helmet. Bullet through the skull helm's eye socket. His body pitches forward, slides, nearly knocks me off my feet. Trigg's already moving to the next target, driving metal into men as patiently as a craftsman driving nails into wood. No passion there, no art, just training and physics.
Reaper, move your ass!
Holiday jerks me down a hall, away from the chaos as Trigg follows, hurling a sticky grenade onto the thigh of an unarmored Gold, who dodges four of his rifle shots. Bone and meat to mist. The siblings reload on the run, and I just try not to faint or fall.
Right in 50 paces, then up the stairs. We got 7 minutes.
The halls are eerily quiet. No sirens. No lights. No whir of heated air through the vents. Just the clunk of our boots and distant shouts and the cracking of my joints and the rasping of lungs. We pass a window. Ships, black and dead, fall through the sky. Small fires burn where others have landed. Trams grind to a halt on magnetic rails. The only lights that still run are from the two most distant peaks. Reinforcements with tech will soon respond, but they won't know what caused this, where to look. With camera systems and biometric scanners dead, Cassius and Aja won't be able to find us. That might save our lives. We run up the stairs. A cramp eats into my right calf and hamstring. I grunt and almost fall. Holiday takes most of my weight, her powerful neck pressing up against my armpit. Three greys spot us from behind at the bottom of the long marble stairs. Shoving me aside, she takes two down with her rifle, but the third fires back, bullets chewing into marble.
They got gas backups. Gotta move, gotta move.
Two more rights past several low colors, who stare at me, mouths agape. Through marble halls with towering ceilings and Greek statues, past galleries where the jackal keeps his stolen artifacts, and once showed me Hancock's declaration and the preserved head of the last ruler of the American Empire. Muscles burning, side splitting.
Here!
We reach a service door in a side hall and push through into cold daylight. The wind swallows me, icy teeth ripping through my jumpsuit as the four of us stumble out onto a metal walkway along the side of the Jackal's fortress. To our right, the stone of the mountain surrenders to the modern metal and glass edifice above. It's a 1,000-meter drop to our left. Snow swirls around the mountain's face. Wind howls. We push forward along the walkway till it circles part of the fortress and links with a paved bridge that extends from the mountain to an abandoned landing platform, like a skeletal arm holding out a concrete dinner plate covered in snow.
4 minutes!
Holiday hollers as she helps me struggle across the bridge toward the landing pad. At the end, she dumps me onto the ground. I set Victor down beside me. A hard skin of ice makes the concrete slick and smoky grey. Snowdrifts gather around the waist-high concrete wall that fences in the circular landing pad from the 1,000-meter drop.
Got 80 in the long mag, 6 in the relic. Then I'm out.
Got 12.
She tosses down a small canister. It pops, and green smoke swirls into the air.
Gotta hold the bridge.
Well, I've got 6 mines.
Plant 'em!
He sprints back down the bridge. At the end of it is a set of closed blast doors, much larger than the maintenance path we took from the side. Shivering and snowblind, I pull Victor close to me against that wall to escape the wind. Snowflakes gather atop the black rain gear she wears, fluttering down like the ash that fell when Cassius, Severo, and I burned Minerva's citadel and stole their cook.
We'll be fine. We'll make it.
I peer over the short concrete wall to the city beneath. It's oddly peaceful. All her sounds, all her troubles, silenced by the EMP. I watch a flake of snow larger than the rest drift on the wind and come to rest on my knuckle. How did I get here? A boy of the mines, now a shivering fallen warlord, staring down at a darkened city, hoping against everything that he can go home. I close my eyes, wishing I was with my friends. My family.
3 minutes.
Holiday says behind me. Her gloved hand touches my shoulder, protectively, as she looks to the sky for our enemies.
3 minutes and we're out of here. Just 3 minutes.
I wish I could believe her. But the snow has stopped falling. I squint up past Holiday, as an iridescent defensive shield ripples into place over the 7 peaks of Attica, cutting us off from the clouds and the sky beyond. The shield generator must have been out of the EMP's blast range. No help will come to us from beyond it.
Trig! Get back here!
She shouts as he plants the last mine on the bridge. A single gunshot shatters the winter morning, echoing brittle and cold. More follow. Snow kicks around him. He sprints back as Holiday leans to cover for him, her rifle rocking her shoulder. Straining, I push myself up. My eyes ache as they try to focus in the sun's light. Concrete explodes in front of me. Shards rip into my face. I duck down, shivering in fear. The Jackal's men have found their backup weapons. I peer out again. Through squinting lids, I see Trig pinned down, halfway to us, exchanging gunfire with a squad of greys carrying gas-powered rifles. They pour out of the fortress's blast doors, now opened at the opposite end of the bridge. 2 go down. 2 more step near a proximity mine and disappear in a cloud of smoke as Trig shoots it at their feet. Holiday picks another off, just as Trig staggers back into cover. Hit with a round in the shoulder. He jams a stim shot into his thigh and pops back up. A bullet slaps into the concrete in front of me, kicks up into Holiday to impact her ribs just under the armpit of her body armor with a meaty thud. She spins down. Bullets force me to crouch beside her. Concrete rains. She spits blood, and there's a wet, phlegmy echoing to her breath.
It's in my lung.
She fumbles with a stim shot from her leg pouch. Were the circuits of her armor not fried, meds would inject automatically. But she has to crack open the case and pull a dose manually. I help, pulling free one of the micro syringes and injecting her in the neck. Her pupils dilate and her breath slows as the narcotic drifts through her blood. Beside me, Lyktra's eyes are closed. The gunfire stops. Carefully, I peek out. The jackal's greys hide behind concrete walls and pylons across the bridge, some 60 meters away. Trig reloads. The wind is the only sound. Something's wrong. I search the sky, fearing the quiet. A gold is coming. I can feel it in the battle's pulse.
Trig! Run!
Holiday sees the look on my face. She struggles up, wheezing in pain as Trig abandons his cover, boots slipping on the ice-slicked bridge. He falls and gains his feet, scrambling toward us, terrified. Too late. Behind him, Aja Au Grimace rips out of the fortress's door, past the greys, past the obsidians who lurk in the shadows. She's in her black formal jacket. Her long legs reel Trig in now. It's one of the saddest sights I've ever seen. I fire my pistol. Holiday unloads her rifle. We hit nothing but air. Aja sidesteps, twists, and when Trig is 10 paces from us, spears him through the torso with her razor. Metal glistens wetly from his sternum. Shock widens his eyes. His mouth makes a quiet gasp, and he screams as he's hauled into the air, pried upward by Asha's razor like a twitching pond frog on the end of a makeshift spear.
Trig.
I stumble forward, toward Aja, pulling my razor, but Holiday jerks me back behind the wall as bullets from the distant greys rip into the concrete around us. Her blood melts the snow under her.
Don't be stupid,
she snarls, dragging me to the ground with the last of her strength.
We can't help him.
He's your brother!
He's not the mission. You are.
Darrow!
Aja calls from the bridge. Holiday peers out where Aja stands with her brother, her face bloodless and quiet. The knight holds Trig up on the end of her razor with one hand. Trig wriggles on the blade, sliding down it toward her grip.
My good men, the time for hiding behind others is over. Come out.
Don't.
Come out.
She tosses Trig off her blade, over the side of the bridge. He falls 200 meters before his body splits against a granite ledge below. Holiday makes a sick, choking sound. She brings up her empty rifle and pulls the trigger a dozen times in Aja's direction. Aja ducks before realizing Holiday's weapon is empty.
No!
I pull Holiday down as a sniper's bullet aimed at her chest slams into her gun, shattering it and kicking it from her grip, mangling a finger. We sit, shivering, backs to concrete, Lyktra between us.
I'm sorry.
She doesn't hear me. Her hands shake worse than mine. No tears in her distant eyes. No color in her lined face.
They'll come.
Her eyes following the green smoke.
They have to.
Blood leaks through her clothing and out the corner of her mouth before freezing halfway down her neck. She grips her boot knife and tries to rise, but her body is done. Breaths wet and thick, smelling like copper.
They'll come.
What is the plan?
Her eyes close. I shake her.
How will they come?
She nods to the edge of the landing pad.
Listen.
Darrow!
Cassius's voice calls over the wind. He's joined Aja.
Darrow of Lycos, come out!
His rich voice is unfit for this moment. Too regal and high and untouched by the sadness that swallows us. I wipe the tears from my eyes.
You must decide what you are in the end, Darrow. Will you come out like a man? Or must we dig you out like a rat from a cave?
The anger tightens my chest. but I don't want to stand. Once, I would have, when I wore the armor of gold and thought I would tower over Io's killer and reveal my true self as his cities burned and their color fell. But that armor is gone. That mask of the Reaper, gnawed away by doubt and darkness. I am just a boy, and I shiver and cower and hide from my enemy because I know the price of failure. And I am so very afraid. But I will not let them take me. I will not be their victim. And I will not let Victra fall into their hands again.
Slag this.
I grab Holiday's collar and Victra's hand, and, eyes flashing with the strain, blinded by the sun on the snow, face numb, I drag them with all my strength from our hiding place across the landing pad to the far edge where the wind roars. There's silence from my enemies. The sight I must make. A tottering, withered form, dragging my friends. Sunken eyes, face like that of a starving old demon, bearded and ridiculous, is pitiful. 20 meters behind me, the two Olympic knights stand imperious on the bridge where it meets the landing pad, flanked by more than 50 greys and obsidians who have come from the citadel doors behind him. Aja's silver razor drips blood. But it's not her weapon. It's Lauren's, the one she took from his corpse. My toes throb inside my wet slippers. Their men seem so tiny against the face of the vast mountain fortress. Their metal guns so petty and simple. I look to the right, off the bridge, kilometers away. A flight of soldiers rises from a distant mountain peak where the EMP did not reach. They bank toward us through a low cloud layer. A ripwing follows.
Darrow! You cannot escape!
Cassius walks forward with Aja off the bridge onto the pad. He watches me, eyes unreadable.
The shield is up! The sky blocked! No ships can come from beyond to retrieve you!
He looks to the green smoke swirling from the canister on the landing pad into the winter air.
Accept your fate!
The wind howls between us, carrying flakes of snow stripped from the mountain.
Dissection! Is that what you think I deserve?
You're a terrorist! What rights you had, you've given up!
Rights? To pull my wife's feet? To watch my father die? What gives you the right to take them?
Look, there's no debate here. You are a terrorist, and you must be brought to justice.
Then why are you talking with me, you bloody damn hypocrite?
Because honor still matters. Honor is what echoes.
His father's words, but they are as empty on his lips as they feel in my ears. This war has taken everything from him. I see in his eyes how broken he is, how terribly hard he is trying to be his father's son. If he could, he would choose to be back by the campfire we made in the highlands of the Institute. He would return to the days of glory, when life was simple, when friends seemed true. But wishing for the past doesn't clean the blood from either of our hands. I listen to the groaning wind from the valley. My heels reach the end of the landing pad. There's nothing but air behind me. Air and the shifting topography of a dark city on the valley floor, 2,000 meters below.
He's going to jump. We need the body.
Darrow, don't!
Cassius says these words, but his eyes are telling me to jump, telling me to take this way out instead of surrendering, instead of going to Luna to be peeled apart. This is the noble way. He's putting his cape over me again. I hate him for it.
You think you're honorable? You think you're good? Who is left that you love? Who do you fight for? You are alone, Cassius. But I am not. Not when I faced your brother in the passage. Not when I hid among you. Not when I lay in darkness. Not even now.
I grip Holiday's unconscious body as hard as I can, looping my fingers inside the straps of her body armor. Clutch Victra's hand. My heels scrape the concrete's edge.
Listen to the wind, Cassius. Listen to the bloody damn wind.
The two knights tilt their heads. And still, they do not understand the strange groaning sound that drifts up from the valley floor. Because how would a son and daughter of gold ever know the sound of a claw drill gnawing through rock? How would they guess that my people would come not from the sky, but from the heart of our planet?
Goodbye, Cassius. Expect me.
I push off the ledge with both legs, flinging myself backward into open air, dragging Holiday and Victra into thin air. We fall toward a molten eye in the center of the snow-covered city. There, among rows of manufacturing plants, buildings shiver and tip as the ground swells upward. Pipes crack and spin into the air. Steam hisses through ruptured asphalt. Gas explosions ripple out in a corona, threading lines of fire through streets that buckle and heave, as if Mars itself were stretching six stories high to give birth to some ancient Leviathan. And then, when the ground and city can stretch no more, a claw drill erupts out into the winter air. A titanic metal hand with molten fingers that steam and grasp, and then vanish as the claw drill sinks back into Mars, pulling half a city block with it. We're falling too fast. Jumped too soon. I lose my grip on Victor. Ground rushing up to us. Then the air cracks with a sonic boom. Then another. And another. Till a whole chorus resounds out from the darkness of the claw drill carved tunnel as it gives birth to a small army. 2, 20, 50 armored shapes in grav boots scream up out of the tunnel toward us. To my left, my right, painted blood red, pouring pulse fire skyward behind us. My hair stands on end and I smell ozone. Superheated munitions ripple blue from friction as they tear through air molecules. Miniguns mounted on shoulders vomit death. Amidst the rising sons of Ares, a crimson armored man with the spiked helmet of his father zips forward and catches Victra seconds before she impacts on the roof of a skyscraper. The howling of wolves babbles from his helmet speakers. It's Ares himself. My best friend in all the worlds has not forgotten me. He has come with his legion of empire breakers and terrorists and renegades. The Howlers. A dozen metal men and women with black wolf cloaks, kicking in the wind, fly behind him. The largest of them, in pure white armor, with blue handprints covering the chest and arms. His black cloak is stained with a red stripe down the middle. For a moment, I think it's Pax come back from the dead for me. But when the man catches me and Holiday, I see the glyphs drawn in the blue paint of the handprints. Glyphs from the south pole of Mars. It is Ragnar Valaris, Prince of the Valkyrie Spires. He tosses Holiday to another howler and pushes me behind him so I can wrap my arms around his neck, digging my fingers into the rivets of his armor. Then he banks through the smoking valley city toward the tunnel.
Hold fast, little brother!
And he dives. Several to the left, clutching Victra. Howlers all around, their grav boots screaming as we plummet into the darkness of the tunnel's mouth. The enemy pursues. The sounds are horrible. Screaming of wind, rupture of rock as pulse fire rips into the walls behind us, and weapons warble. My jaw rattles against Ragnar's metal shoulder. His grav boots vibrate at full burn. Bolts from the armor dig into my ribs. The battery pack above his tailbone slams into my groin as we weave and dart through pitch black. I'm riding a metal shark deeper and deeper into the belly of an angry sea. My ears pop. Wind whistles. A pebble slams into my forehead. Blood streams down my face, stinging my eyes. The only light, the glowing of boots and the flash of weapons. The skin of my right shoulder flares with pain. Pulse fire from our pursuers misses me by inches. Still, my skin bubbles and smokes, lighting my jumpsuit sleeve on fire. The wind kills the flames, but the pulse fire rips past again and boils into the sun's grav boots just ahead of me, melting the man's legs into a single chunk of molten metal. He jerks in the air, slamming into the ceiling, where his body crumples, helmet ripping off and spinning straight toward me. Red light throbs through my eyelids. There's smoke in the air. Meaty. Stings the back of the throat. Fat tissue, charred and crispy. Chest hot with pain. A swamp of screams and howls and cries for mother all around. And something else. The sound of bumblebees in my ears. Someone's above me. See them in the red light as I open my eyes, screaming into my face, pressing a mask to my mouth. A damp wolf cloak dangles from a metal shoulder, tickling my neck. Other hands touch mine. The world vibrates, tilts.
Stop it! Stop it!
Someone screams in the distance, as if underwater. We're on a ship. I'm surrounded by dying men. Burned, twisted husks of armor. Smaller men atop them, bent like vultures, saws glowing in their hands as they peel the armor away, trying to free those dying of their burns inside. But the armor's melted tight. A hand touches mine. A boy, lying beside me, eyes wide, armor blackened. The skin of his cheeks is young and smooth beneath the soot and blood. His mouth not yet creased by smiles. His breaths come shorter, quicker. He mouths my name. And he's gone.